Joining us now from the Golf Channel, we have Paige McKenzie. Paige, welcome back into the Golf Shop.
Yeah, thank you. So glad to be back.
All right, so as a player, I have to ask you, we had a little bit of a debacle on Sunday with some rules and Dustin Johnson and ball moving. I got to ask, from a player's perspective, what is your reaction watching this whole thing going on, knowing that if you're another one of those players out in the field and you don't know what's going on, and it seemed like only Dustin Johnson and really Lee Westwood initially know what's going on, what are you thinking? What's going through your mind?
Well, you always have to assume that your opponent is going to do something great. So in that situation, you always assume that Dustin Johnson will not get the penalty and that you'll have to continue to chase. In any of those circumstances, especially the U.S. Open, where par is so good and is rewarded almost as much as a birdie in a normal tournament, you have to continue to play your own game and then don't take any unnecessary risks, regardless of whether he would have been penalized or not. So, I mean, more than anything, I think it was just confusing to everybody else. I mean, the players have their business ahead of them. They're inside the ropes. They're focused on what they're doing. It was just a shame for everybody else watching that you couldn't have any sort of resolution to what was going on that day.
Yeah, I mean, I went on a rant earlier in our earlier segment, and basically, you know, if you read through the rule and then all the decisions, which for me is still the biggest problem in the world of golf, is that you have a decisions book that's bigger than the rule book. But, you know, by the letter of the law, yes, he you know, you could see it, theoretically see that he's getting a penalty stroke. But when you sit
Correct.
There and you watch it, common sense tells you there's nothing that he did that caused that ball to move.
Right. Well, and the thing that I think lit up the entire social media world and all of the other PGA Tour players and everybody in the golf world that's played competitively is that for our entire life, for the last 25 years, everything was based on addressing the ball. If you address the ball, then you are at risk for moving it and cause a penalty, even if it was a 30-mile-an-hour gust of wind. So everything was dependent, and that was the line of demarcation. Did you address it? Did you not address it? And in this particular case, given that for so many years that was how it was qualified as a penalty or not, he did not address it. I think that's why the outrage. I think because our mindset as players that have played this game for a very long time in competition is that we're used to seeing it either addressed or not addressed. In this case, it was not addressed, so therefore it should not have been a penalty. The problem, of course, is that the rule has changed and that they've taken out that as a prerequisite or a requirement for the player to have been deemed to have moved the ball.
Well,
I'm with you. I mean, I can totally see it both directions. When I saw it happen, I saw absolutely Dustin Johnson did not cause that to move. And then the more I read about it, the more I saw it, the more I understood the new rule, the more I said, okay, I get it. I get why the USGA did that. The flaw, of course, was the fact that it took so long to assess the penalty.
Well, the other thing that you and I have experienced our entire lives playing the game of golf is the honor system. I mean, we call penalties on ourselves, and that's what golfers are known for. And, you know, we know that our playing companions in our group are there to help protect the field as well. So from my mm-hmm. standpoint, too, I mean, you have Dustin Johnson saying, I did not cause the ball to move. Lee Westwood agreeing,
right.
He did not cause the ball to move. The official that comes in and listens to both of what they have to say and determines that the ball did not move. Now you have three people in the honorable game of golf who have said Dustin Johnson had nothing to do with that ball moving, yet he gets penalized anyway. That's another reason that I just have this thing biting at me right now saying this is just not right.
Well, and the reality is, if the greens had not been at the speed that it was at that time of day, on that particular slope, it likely would not have moved. And it was almost as if USGA had caused that to become an issue because the greens were stimping so fast. And that's what's so sad and difficult to understand is that if you were given, you know, a normal PGA Tour green even, at stimping at 12, likely any sort of small reverberation wouldn't have caused the ball to move. And it very well could have been just gravity and the ball settling. So that's the disappointing thing. And thankfully, I guarantee you, Dustin Johnson gained a ton of fans that day because no one that watched that tournament wanted the tournament to be decided and a major champion decided on a penalty stroke that is subjective to to that of the committee.
All right, so Dustin Johnson gets his first major victory. I, for one, was not on the Dustin Johnson bandwagon thinking he was ever going to win a major just because weird things always happen to Dustin. And I always thought that because it didn't bother him, he was going to have a tough time winning a major. Now I see that because stuff didn't bother him, he probably was able to win one. But where do you see Dustin Johnson going from here? Is this going to be the floodgates opening for him, especially in big events?
I think it very well could be. Without question, he's one of the most talented players on the PGA Tour. I think if you went down the range and you asked people who's a good ball striker, athletic, hits the ball with a ton of power, has staying and lasting power on the PGA Tour, Dustin Johnson would be at the top of the list. So I think getting a major win, we already know he can win consistently. He's won every single year in the last 9 years on the PGA Tour. And not very many people have that level of consistency in winning. I think this could improve confidence as well as getting over the hump in bad situations, knowing that you can close coming down the stretch. The shot that he hit on 18 to birdie the final hole, it was incredible. Both that drive and second shot into 18.
Yes. Again, we're talking with Paige McKenzie of the Golf Channel. And, you know, switching over to your world, the LPGA, we've had Lydia Ko and Brooke Henderson win a couple of the majors so far this year. No winner over the age of 28 on the LPGA Tour. It seems like if you just turn 30 on the LPGA Tour, you should just go ahead and retire because all these ladies are so young and they're all winning.
They should really have a champs tour at the age of 30 for the women. I mean, now I think it's 45 for the Legends Tour on the women's side. It's absolutely incredible, and I find it fascinating because golf is not a sport that historically has rewarded youth. Usually it's experience that's rewarded in this game. And for so many of the young women, like you said, Lydia Ko and Brooke Henderson, both under the age of 20, that are now number one and two in the world, at least last time I checked last week, extraordinary.
Do you feel like that maybe the Tiger effect has something to do with this? I mean, we saw how when Tiger hit the scene, you know, purses on the PGA Tour jumped. It seemed like golf got a little bit more exposure. It was on TV more. There was more coverage Thursday, Friday, the Golf Channel coming online. All these avenues to start watching golf. It seemed like junior tours exploded. I mean, we can say that, you know, experience used to be the key for players on whatever tour it was. But, you know, people like Lydia Ko and Brooke Henderson and Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth, they've played in so many junior tournaments and amateur tournaments, you know, before they even hit 18 years old. I mean, that has to play a part in this.
That's an incredibly important point to make. The junior scene has changed a lot in the last 20 years from the level of competition and exposure to international competition at a young age. I remember Lydia Ko playing at Black Wolf Run, the LPG or the U.S. Open there in, I believe it was 2012. So 4 years ago, it was before she won on the LPGA Tour, and I remember people talking about, watch out for this Lydia Ko, and I was like, I don't know who this is. I, of course, shortly there found out. But the other thing that I think Tiger Woods did, beyond just making golf cool, is that he proved that you can go out and compete immediately. That is one of the things that he did right away when he turned pro. And all of a sudden, it gave confidence to everybody else that, hey, I don't have to pay my dues. I don't have to be on tour for 7 years before I win. I can go out and win, too. And I think there is a little bit of a mental edge when you see a player like Tiger Woods go out there and do it right away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 46 years old. I remember when I was 17 going to play in a tournament out at Torrey Pines. It was a junior world tournament. And, you know, I'm playing against Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els and Paul Stankowski and, you know, and a couple other guys that ended up being on the PGA Tour. And we heard about this kid that was named Tiger Woods that was winning all these, you know, amateur tournaments as a 12-year-old, these junior tournaments in his age group and just dominating everything. And, you know, it seemed like none of us knew all of these names. You know, and we knew of Phil Mickelson, right, because he kind of had won some main things and he competed in U.S. amateurs. But it seems like all these kids know each other. They've all competed against each other, and they're all comfortable playing against each other.
goes to your point. I played that same exact tournament at Torrey Pines with Christina Kim, if you can believe it, probably 15 years ago. It's a very elite group, and there's very few golfing professionals that come out of nowhere. Within the ranks, we've seen this talent in class of 2011 on the PGA Tour with Smiley Kaufman and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Patrick Rogers, to name a few, but there's a very talented group that all graduated high school at the same time. And the same is true on the ladies' side, too. You have junior golfers that grow up competing against each other. I guarantee you Minji Lee and Lydia Ko probably battled it out in Australia and New Zealand as they were growing up as well. And it's neat to see. That's why I think folks like Jarena Pillar, when you talk about the LPGA and somebody that's been playing excellent on the LPGA this year, she really has come out of nowhere and has blossomed as a professional. She didn't even come to the game of golf until she was 15 years old. So very few stories like that. Most of the successful professional golfers were very successful as a junior and amateur.
As we approach the Women's U.S. Open, we've talked about it on this show before, Mike and I, it seems like there's a definite cycle on the LPGA Tour where you had the Annika Sorenstam, then you had Lorena Ochoa, and now you're you've had Imbie Park, who's talking about retirement. We've got Lydia Ko, we've got Brooke Henderson, we've got some other younger players that seem to be jumping on the scene and dominating. Why do you think that there is this kind of cycle where there's like a, I don't know, almost like a three, maybe into a fourth year where one woman seems to dominate and then kind of the next person comes along?
I think it's the level of competition. I really think it's so difficult to keep that elite level of golf for a very long time. I think we were so spoiled with Tiger Woods for so many years that we forget how difficult it is to play golf at a high level consistently. You left out Yanni Sen, who might be one of the greatest mysteries in professional golf, being as dominant as any female player I've ever played against or ever seen play. She hit the ball very, very far. She was number one in the world for a very long time and then just fell off the map. It's because golf is hard. Not only is the game hard, but professional golf is hard. When you travel around the world and you're gone 25, 30 weeks of the year from your home, you have the pressures of your home country if you're American or elsewhere. In the case of Yanni Sen, Taiwan, the entire country of Taiwan was waiting to see what her next move was. It makes it very difficult to continue to compete at a high level. There's very few men that have done it well as well. I think we were just spoiled for so many years by Tiger Woods that we forget how hard it is to stay at the top for a long, long time.
All right, Paige, before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We saw Jordan Spieth get taken down as the defending champion at the Masters. And is he going to win a major this year? And we saw Lydia Ko get taken down by Brooke Henderson. Is she going to win another major this year?
I'm going to say no on Jordan Spieth. Not because I don't have faith in him. I just think the level of competition is there. Ryder Cup year is coming up. I know the Europeans are coming on strong with the Open Championship coming up. And then on Lydia Ko front, I see her defending at Evian. I'll call it early.
Okay.
I think she'll win another major by the end of the year.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, as always, hopping on with us, and we will catch up with you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.